Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You'd almost think Darren Pang was a sports writer the way we're playing Springsteen in the run-up to him. Panger, how you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, fellas. That's a great way to open up a segment right there with a little Thunder Road by the great Bruce Springsteen.
That's it. Every sports writer is a card-carrying member of Team Springsteen. Coming in, we heard Jonathan Toews talk about Corey Crawford. We will hear the full Toews interview in the second half of this. And one of my favorite people in all of sports joins us now, Darren Pang, Fox Sports Midwest, the NHL Network. He's on Twitter at @panger40. And I was explaining to my partner, Matt Spiegel, that you were branding elections for postseason awards long before it became fashionable with the shirt. Pang, easier to spell than Neuendijk. Didn't do you any good,
right.
But I really think the effort was there. You should get credit for that, Panger.
That was the genius of the great Lisa Seltzer, our producer back then. And she came up with that idea, and we ended up, actually, we ended up selling those T-shirts and gave it money away for charity, and it was a good idea. I think back now as a 23-year-old rookie in the NHL, and I wonder now what my older, the veteran players thought of, that type of thing. But at the time, it seemed right. It seemed fun. Neuendijk was easily going to win it. We were making a mockery of it, to be quite honest with you. He was that good. He scored over 50 goals. But at the end of the day, maybe that helped me get to the awards banquet, and I got to hang around with these great players that won awards that year, and Joe to this day remains a really good friend. So it was pretty neat.
Reminds maybe not quite as selfish as Theismann, which rhymes with Heisman. Dude, he changed his name to rhyme with the award. Darren, just ain't right.
Yeah, see that's a different type of solicitation. Mine was definitely for fun and self-deprecating humor, and on the other side, I don't think Joe's was.
So we heard Jonathan Toews coming in. The Hawks and Blues play tonight. The evil, dreaded Blues are in town, and the bloody rivalry continues, and we're waiting to see Corey Crawford return from a concussion. They're a lot higher on him. They believe he's a lot closer. I just didn't even think we'd see him again. What does it mean? What goaltenders you've talked to, I don't know if you've had a concussion. How do you get back on the ice after something or several things like that?
Yeah, I mean, his is obviously far more complicated than I thought it was going to end up being. Did I return to the ice after having a concussion? Yeah, absolutely. I got split open for about maybe 15 stitches playing junior hockey, and a game and a half later, I ended up being right in the net. And I remember thinking the first high, hard one that came towards my head, I was extremely sharp with my hands because I was afraid that it was going to hit me in the head. And that feeling of that puck going through my mask the first time, I didn't want to experience that again. It's not fun. Balance is everything when you're a goaltender, or in life, balance is everything. But if you're a goaltender and you're facing a shot and you have to prepare for a rebound, move side to side, your balance has to be impeccable. When you're off kilter, then you can't do it. And the other part about a concussion is concentration. You're just not as focused. And if you're in the net and you're not as focused, well, you're not going to have success. So I did watch Corey quite closely today. And actually, Troy Murray and I were talking about it. And Troy tried to throw a little bait on the hook for me. He looked at me and said, "Oh boy, it's going to be good to see Crawford playing tonight." And I kind of looked at him like, "He's not playing tonight, is he?" And he tried to get me going a little bit, but he looked very, very sharp. In fact, a week ago, I watched him in the morning skate in St. Louis, and I thought all the drill.
Darren, we got you. I think we might have lost him.
I think his cell phone had a concussion.
Okay, well, we can try him back. I can't imagine, Steve, the way that he's talking about it, that you add that to the mindset. Like, if you were not already impressed with the athleticism and the bravery of certain athletes to just go out there and subject themselves to the danger and the physical harm of some of these contact sports, or a goalie to get in there and just stand strong against, you know, guys right there in front of him in the crease, mm-hmm. and the pucks flying at you and you don't know where, and all the dangerous potential. If you were not already, then add this idea that, oh, by the way, you could get a concussion or another concussion, and it could lead towards the kind of brain injury that damages the rest of your life. It is,
and you just know that everybody's going to buzz the tower. Right, every other player.
It's what we expect of these guys, to be as brave and as comfortable as they've always been their whole life in the face of potentially having the rest of their lives damaged by yet another concussion. It's kind of amazing that we expect athletes to be that consistently on point, isn't it, Darren?
Well, it is, Matt. I think that of all the positions, it's the puck you're facing, and you are right about players buzzing the tower. I mean, you know, Matt Murray's had 3 concussions playing for the Pittsburgh Penguins. When he returns, someone's going to fire it high and hard at him. That's just the way this game is. You know, in the old days when goalies were getting a little bit timid, the curves of the stick were coming on, the pucks were going higher, the masks weren't very good. I mean, how many times you see Bobby Hull fire a couple of them real high and then fire a couple of them real low just to see where the goaltender was at? I mean, this is the part where it's no fun. But in saying all that, I'm sure that Corey's got the same mentality I'm going to repeat right here. If you're going to go in and you're going to put the pads on and you're going to return, you're going to return full bore. So when he's ready to play, it's going to be 1,000,000% that he's back and ready to play. And if by chance something happens to him again, you have to leave that to fate. But you certainly can't play at this level timid. You can't play at this level. You know, you can maybe play less than 80%, but you can't play it at 40% and not all in. So when he returns, and as I watched him today, I mean, he did look very, very close. Listen to that interview with Jonathan Toews. I believe what Jonathan Toews says right there, because he's the one that's on the ice with him. They're the ones shooting at him. I thought he looked terrific this morning, as an example.
We're talking with Darren Pang, Fox Sports Midwest, Blues and Hawks tonight at the United Center. One of the things interesting, Corey Crawford's trying to come back in an era where the second phase of smaller goalie equipment is being experienced. This is the better, tighter wrapped chest pads. The leg pads took a shaving last year. Goals are up. I believe there's a correlation there. We might be headed back. Do you think we go back 22 years where Mario led the league with 161 points and 69 goals? Do you think we're headed back to that? What do you attribute the raise in scoring to?
A combination of things. I think early in the season, I think it's hard to play defense. You know, the systems are being sold by the coaches, but the players have to stop and start. They have to block shots. They have to put their bodies on the line early on. And I don't think that if you look at most games around the NHL, that the players are quite convinced that they're going to play that way right now. And that's why scoring's up for me. I do believe that lazy penalties have created a lot of power play goals as well. On the other side of it, I do believe the goaltenders are having some adjustments with their shoulder pads and the way that the waist is fitting for them. I think there are some goals that are going in, that are going through arms and just finding their way through. The advancements that they finally have made with the pants last year and now the shoulder pads, a little more streamlined, not as broad in the shoulders. I think that's helped goal scoring. I think the goal scorers can see a little bit more net. I think they're a little bit more confident. But in saying all that, I think once we get to January, February, March, I think we're going to see it tightened up again, because that's when the players start really tuning in, and that's when the defensive part of the game really comes to the forefront for me, especially with the good teams.
Darren Pang right here on The Score. Steve Rosenblum is him. I'm Matt Spiegel. And I got to tell you, I found this fascinating. What Scott Powers of The Athletic had reported about Jonathan Toews' offseason, working with a local skills analyst named Brian Keene, and some of the things that they worked on, because Toews has been a hot topic, obviously, for a couple of years. The production's been way down. But he says that with Toews, they worked on some skating deception, little changes of speed and reading when to skate or throw in a little bit of deception while someone is on you to create separation, using your eyes to take advantage, whether you're within pass deception, trying to be one step ahead of guys, not telegraph what he's intending to do. It's interesting because Toews is always so concerted and working so hard and very direct at what he's doing. But this idea of trying to gain a little deception and buy himself a little more space on chances, I think is kind of fascinating. And I can't help but feel like I'm seeing it in his much more productive start this year.
Yeah, Jonathan Toews is back. This is fun to watch now. I would be like everybody else watching the NHL, and if you're a Hawk fan, you're watching Jonathan Toews last year and a half, and you're saying what's going on and where is he heading? Is this the decline of a great player? Has he played so much hockey that he's just flat out of gas? Has he changed his diet to the point where he doesn't have the strength to out battle players? There's a lot of questions, and he's answered them all. I like those points. I read that article. The skating deception and the creating separation, very interesting. At the end of practice today, he was doing a lot of one-on-ones, and there was just a lot of kind of jitterbug, deking, kind of faking one way, going another way, and he just looks explosive. He looks quick. He looks light on his skates, but he looks quick on his skates, and he just looks like he's not going to lose a battle, whereas last year it looked like he wasn't going to win a battle. So our league's a better league when Jonathan Toews is the kind of player that he is, because he's so revered and so respected. So whatever he did in the offseason, he did it right, and he's ready for an unbelievable season.
Before I let you go, Panger, the Blues, there's some talent there. I always thought Jake Allen was like Greg Millen, just good enough to get your heart broken. What are legitimate expectations for the evil, dreaded Blues?
You know what, Steve, competing for a Stanley Cup again. Getting back to where they were a couple of years ago when they went to the conference final, and it looked like they were a team trending north. And last year was a step back, but when you look at the team, I mean, Doug Armstrong put together a center ice position of Ryan O'Reilly, Braden Schenn, who had 70 points last year, Tyler Bozak, who's been a 50-point guy and a right-hand shot, good on the dots, and then a young 19-year-old in Robert Thomas, a first-round pick. So I think he's got way more depth in scoring, Steve. I think they lacked it when Jaden Schwartz, who will not play tonight, but when he was hurt last year, the whole team went south offensively. And now you've got Patrick Maroon is here, kind of a net front guy. And he's a guy that grew up with the St. Louis Blues, living in St. Louis. And he talks a lot about the rivalry between the Blackhawks and the Blues. So, you know, he loves that part of it. They get offense from their defensemen. And you're right about Jake. I mean, this is an incredibly huge year for Jake Allen, and being consistent all season. A little bit rough, but I think he played really well in the last game. And as a team, I just can tell you that they feel like they're going to be a top team in the National Hockey League, and that's their expectations. And we'll see how that goes. But they've got way more depth now than they certainly did last year, and even the year before that.
All right, and everybody remember, Pang. It's easier to spell than Tarasenko. That's the way I'm going with it. Darren, thanks for your time. Always good to catch up with you. Thanks.
Always my pleasure, fellas. Take care.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.